Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good evening, Valley Bible Fellowship. What's up, George? Hey, good evening, Valley Bible Fellowship. How's everybody doing? You guys doing good? Can we give it up for the worship band one more time? You guys, man, there's so much that we got to cover tonight. And my name's Tom. I am the Northwest campus pastor. And we are continuing tonight's message is going to be in Ephesians. We've been in the book of Ephesians for the last couple months, actually. But before we get into that, that's kind of a letting you guys know, if you have your Bibles, either physical Bibles or the technology thing, you can open those up and get ready. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2 tonight. But this has been our first ever serve week. And as I kind of talk a little bit about what we've been doing so far, it's also an invitation for anybody who would like to. We have a few more projects before the week is over. If you would like to get involved, it's really, really simple. I know we got some photos of some events that we've been doing throughout this week. And if you would like to get involved, you can go to our Church Center app and register there if there are any more spots available. But there are going to be some photos as I kind of describe what we've been doing the last 3 days. We've been going out to not only convalescent homes, but we've been going to different parts of town. We've done a lemonade thing on two different parts of town. We've gone to convalescent homes. We've gone to Teen Challenge, led worship there. We have gone through and helped the 911 dispatch. We've gone to the BPD. We have gone to all different parts of the city, and we're just halfway through. And so this serve week has been something that's just been so good, not only for the city of Bakersfield, but for us as a church. You know, if you're familiar with VBF, throughout the last couple of years, we have done what is called like serving in September or action in April or mobilizing in March, where we took a Saturday and for a few hours we would all gather and then we would go out into the city and then come back and tell all the God stories of what God has done throughout that one day. But this year, what we've done is we are taking this entire week and we have gone throughout not only the mornings, but then leading into the evenings of just doing a wide variety of different opportunities to serve our city. And so if you've been a part of that, thank you so much. We do love and enjoy serving alongside you. If you have not been able to join with us, we have also been doing some social media challenges, if you will. And so if you are maybe not in Bakersfield and can't join us physically, if you are in a different state, which we have a lot of you that tune in, we have been posting some stuff on our social media that you can partake in this serve week as well. And this is one of what we hope to be many. So if you missed it this time around, it is what it is. And next year we will have something, and it's just we're learning. And so you've heard in the past pastor talk about us being a church that we're going to try some things and they're going to succeed, and we're going to try some other things and they're going to fail. We have a really good feeling about this one. And so if you would like to be a part of it, there's still opportunity, or if your work schedule or family schedule only allows, we can always do something next year. But we do appreciate you being a part of that, and it's been so good to serve alongside you. We still have a lot of projects though that we've got going, so we look forward to seeing you guys there. Before we get into this evening's message, can you guys just look to the person to the left or the right of you and just greet them, say hello to them? Cool. I think sometimes, this idea of getting together for church, I remember just coming in here, and I was very, very much an isolated person because I didn't want any of you to find out who I was. And not that like I'm like a celebrity or anything, but just like who I am as a person, because depending on your relationship with God, maybe you are the person who you're fresh out of the selfishness, and you're trying to start living better, and you know that Jesus is the answer, but there's still you, right? And so I remember just being like, please, just like don't talk to me. I'm working with God right now, and I don't want you to have to find out who I truly am, and then therefore now I can't go here. I got to go to another church, right? And so this is, I think sometimes we kind of find ourselves in that place, and if we're not careful, you know, that can take us down a really dangerous kind of rabbit hole of selfishness, of really thinking that we are cooler than we actually are. Because in actuality, no one here cares about the person they're sitting next to, because we're all trying to get worked on. But sometimes, you know, I've known people to drive from like the southwest side of town, get in this parking lot, and then drive right back out because of whatever thoughts were going through their head that prevented them from walking inside. And it's just, it's real. It's life. It's what happens. And tonight, what I hope to truly be a part of is just being someone who also receives from the message that God wants to deliver tonight. Something that I think is just so great, regardless of what your circumstances are. There was that very first song that they sang tonight that I think it's good to tell your circumstances, or maybe even your own thoughts, that there is no one like our God. Amen. And I will praise him. Amen. Sometimes I think we just need to talk to those circumstances or those thoughts that are inside of our heads and just say, I don't need to have the answers, because there is no one like our God. And you might not be a biblically studious person, but I do want to share with you a story. My daughter is out of school, and so I get to spend a lot of time with her now. And I was asking her, my daughter's name is Scarlett, and I said, Scarlett, what do you know about God? And she's 6 years old, and then she begins to describe, well, I know that he gives us food, and I know that he gives us our couches, and I know that he gives us good health. And I said, Scarlett, how do you know these things? Like, how do you really know these things, you six-year-old genius? I don't know. Her response, I don't know. And what I would give to believe like that. Because I'm sitting there, and as she's describing, like, God gave us the couches, I'm like, pfft. No, he didn't. I paid for those couches. I carried them in, you know? But that's not how she saw it. And I think what we would all benefit from is to believe like that. Because I think a lot of times we need to be convinced of God, which isn't always a bad thing. There's proof. There's scriptural proof. Like, Israel exists. And that's okay that you have these questions. Like, okay, so the whole earth was flooded. Is there any evidence of that? Like, Noah, is there any evidence of him? Is there any evidence of Moses? Is there any evidence of slavery in Egypt? Is there any evidence of a Jesus guy? Like, those things aren't bad. The Bible itself tells us that it's the glory of man to, like, reveal a matter. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. God does want us to continue to go deeper in a relationship with him. However, not to lose sight of our first love. Amen. Not to lose sight of the fact that it all does rely on Jesus Christ. It all does rely on our belief of who Jesus is. And so tonight we're continuing in the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 2. And we are reading here, Paul has been writing to this church in Ephesus. But the theme of this book is for all churches. They believe that not only did he write this letter to the church in Ephesus, but that he probably continued this letter to all the other churches in Asia, in all these churches that he would go and he would visit, that he would take this same letter and go, this applies to you as well. Which is one of the reasons why we at Valley Bible Fellowship decided that we were going to read through this book verse by verse, take it slow. Because this would then apply to our church as well in 2023. And so we're going to read here starting in verse 11. And it says this in chapter 2, starting in verse 11. It says, therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Wouldn't it be nice if I was like, that was it, let's pray. But I do want to look at a couple of things with this, because I do think that sometimes we just forget who we are. And that's why Paul writes in this portion of scripture, he says, therefore remember. The verse right before is one of my favorite verses in all of scripture. It says in verse 10, I didn't give you this back room, but everyone here has their Bibles out, so they're reading it from there. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Amen. Isn't that good? You, ladies and gentlemen, despite what kind of screw up that you think that you are, God designed you for good works. And it's not even hard. You don't have to come up with the good works. All you have to do is walk in them. God will speak to you and say, go here. God will speak to you and say, say this. God will speak to you and say, don't say this. God will speak to you and tell you not to go here. God will speak to you and tell you to text this person, call this person, stop hanging out around this person. And all we have to do is walk in it. Then Paul continues and writes, therefore, because this is who you are, remember. And we're going to look at a couple of things here. Because maybe for everybody here, I mean, if VBF is doing the job right, there are going to be people who this is your first time maybe in church, maybe your first time here at Valley Bible. But for those of you that have been coming to church for any length of time, there was a point in your life where you thought that you didn't belong to the family of God. Paul writes this here, and he says that you were called the uncircumcised by those who are called circumcised. What does that mean? Well, back in the day, and even to this day, the Jewish people, the Israelites, the family, the original family of God, the representation of what it would look like for God to have intimate relationship with humanity, the example, they kind of started walking around very cocky, very arrogant. They were God's people. And to this day, they still have a little bit of that arrogance. Why not? God has been with them from the very beginning. These Jewish people that are alive today, all they know is that they are God's chosen ones. Now, in our scriptures, what we read about the Messiah is that Jesus came to now open that as to now the Gentiles, to us non-Jews, us non-Israelites. But still, these people would look to you and I, if you're not Jewish or Israelite, and look to you and say, you don't have this mark, this particular mark. And because you don't, you are kind of an outcast. And Paul's saying, don't forget you used to be a part of that group. Don't forget that you used to be on the outside looking in. Because there is these promises that came with the believers, the promises that came with these Israelites, that they were to always be protected. And no matter what came their way, they would always have God on their side. All the, throughout the Old Testament, you see that these men and these women of God, there was a blessing around them. There was an anointing around them. And that if there was any sort of person, a sojourner or an alien, an outsider, that those people that would come in, as soon as they started living the way that the Israelites would be living, they were now a part of the covenant. And so Paul says, don't forget, you Gentiles used to be on the outside. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget how this all started. And it's interesting because sometimes we can get that way. Sometimes you get lazy. You hear about Serve Week and you're like, I don't got to do that. I used to, but not anymore. I've been a Christian for 5 years. I should be leading. If you were here Sunday, Pastor Ron walked us through when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. And he walked through that whole gross mentality. Because Jesus was proving, he goes, listen, I know who I am, and I still serve. Amen. Jesus knew his time was about to be here. And he goes, I'm not going to stop serving. And sometimes it's nice to be like, oh, wow, what a powerful move, Jesus. But it says that Jesus was both fully God and fully man. Did he know that if he didn't stop serving, he would become arrogant? Did he know that if he stopped serving and stopped looking out, that something would change within him? Have we gotten there? Have you begun to think that you are too holy? So your prayer life is now starting to struggle. Instead of long conversations with God, you're sending him verbal text messages. Because what happens over time, if we forget who we are and at least where we came from, you start setting a terrible example of God being in someone's life. That's how it starts to get manipulated. There's so many documentaries out right now about churches that have succumbed to this. People just forgot that they were there to serve. America does a good job of doing this. We forget that the church is here to serve. And Paul's saying, don't forget. Don't forget who you are. So for those of us that are believers here in this room, I have a question for you to answer in your mind, okay? I don't need hundreds of responses verbally. I'm not going to retain any of that information. But what is the job of a believer? What is the job of a believer? Spoiler, I'm going to tell you. You've heard it before, and it doesn't get any simpler than this. It's found in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. And Jesus puts it like this. If you could put that up back room. When Jesus was asked, Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. This last verse is the kicker. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. You and I, as believers, are supposed to love God with every ounce of us. Think about him. Talk about him. Be with him. Do things for him. And also, do the same thing for other people. That sounds real, real easy and real, real vague. And so I want to look at this tonight. I want to further explain this just a little bit. I do have 2 points for you. And the first one is this: the job of a believer, simplified, to grow spiritually in the Lord. Every single one of us should know Scripture. Every single one of us. But I didn't go to college for it. God doesn't want you to go to college for it. He wants you to be so madly in love with Him that you would want to spend time reading the love letter that He wrote to you. He wants you to be able to use it when the time comes. The Word of God is powerful. Amen. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Like, we need to be able to quote these things, because if not, we can be deceived. We need to grow in our relationship with the Father. We need to spend that time with Him. I want to read here in 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to give you 2 different translations. We're going to come out of the New American Standard first. And it says this: applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge, increase in knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to grow in our knowledge of God. We need to grow in our ability to pray for people. We need to grow in the way that we worship God. Almost like, I mean, can you imagine taking a test about what you know about the characteristic of God? Who is God to you? The Message version puts it this way. It says, so don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet, aka you won't get lazy. No day will pass without its rewards as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. It's so important that you don't just read your Bible to tell other people that you read your Bible. It's so important that you don't read the Bible so that that way God doesn't send a lightning bolt to kill you. It's so powerful for you to not only worship here on a Wednesday or a Sunday, but that it would be the only music that you would listen to. Amen. That's a conviction, because I know some of you like Tupac. I get it. But at the same time, it's like sometimes he talks about Mary, sure. But sometimes he talks about Jesus, sure. But at the same time, we need as much of a reminder of the power of God, the love of God, the beauty of what Jesus has done on the cross, because we don't always get that. We don't always fully understand it. Tom, I'm not a music guy. I like podcasts. Then listen to podcasts that are either sermons from our church or Off the Mountain podcasts, or it's other things that build up. If it's apologetics, if it's just simple Bible. I mean, you could download the Bible app and just have whoever those readers are read you the scriptures. But Tom, doesn't that kind of make me like an over-Christian? Doesn't that make me like so... What's that verse? Don't be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. And then you go and you look that up, and that's not a verse at all in Scripture. That's just a something that somebody said one time and you thought it was Scripture to justify your sin. No, we should be so like so evident that God moves and is working within us. Like, at the bare minimum, every single one of us could benefit from being kinder. Just be kind. I mean, isn't it crazy how mad you get at people who are driving on the road with you? And this one just, it's hit so close to home to me. I am a rule follower by nature. Like, it really irks me if you, you know, say, hey, we're doing this, and you just veer off just a little bit. But I cannot stand you human beings that are inside the 15 items or less at the grocery store, and you have more than 15 items. There's a special place in hell. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Chill out. But isn't it funny, like, how mad you get at something like that? Because let's face it, that's just the tipping point. It's been other things. Maybe it's the fact that your bank account looks the way that it does, or your marriage looks the way that it does, or when you come home, your little ones don't greet you and love on you like they used to, or at your job, you're not getting the respect or the love or the appreciation for all the hard work. And it's these little things. So yeah, you're standing in line, and they clearly got a cart full. And that's just the tipping point. And God is saying, don't forget. Don't forget who you used to be. Because something changes. Amen. You know, I wonder if God loves Kern County a little bit more than others. Not just because of the weather. Thank you, Lord. But it's so funny when people start talking about the homeless that are around here. See how quiet it got? What if God's using them for us? Come on. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Because you mean to tell me that those people want to be there? Estranged from their family? Addicted? Negative? Lazy? Whatever you want to call them. And what's so funny, because I'm guilty of this, I'll drive up to any intersection in all of Kern County, and there is one, and I go, God, send someone to go and help them. And he's like, you? No, Lord, not me. I'm too busy. But what if? Because what if we just started treating them like human beings? Amen. And we just rolled down our window and we said, hey, listen. Don't say that. That's really disrespectful. Listen to me. But just to say, hey, what's your name? I'm so-and-so. Okay, how did you get here? And when they respond and you have a conversation with them, you treat them like a human being. And sometimes you might feel that you have to give them food or give them money or give them whatever, but imagine how much more prayer would do. Amen. Imagine how much more that you would intercede for them, you know, and just and say, God, whatever it is. Because a lot of people give him money. But what if that's what God wanted to use for us? The second point, another job of a believer, to lovingly respect others. Amen. Lovingly respect others. Leviticus 19 verse 18 is where this whole love your neighbor as yourself comes from. It says, you shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. That is the original verse that lays out what Jesus said is the second most and equally as important commandment. The context is so important. Do not take vengeance. Do not bear any grudge. And that is so uncomfortable because those people deserve it, right? In our minds, right? They took money from me. They haven't paid me back. I let them do this and they never said thank you, or they've been living their lives like this. And all of a sudden, you Holy Spirit-filled believer have a grudge against somebody. That says so much more about how we view God. Because if it is financial, you don't believe that God, what's the most famous prayer a lot of Christians pray? God, you want a cattle on 1,000 hills. Most famous prayer Christians will pray, talking about how much money God has. And so we think, God, you are loaded. But when it comes to my brother, when it comes to my cousin, I'm never going to see that money again. And we do these things. And it's crazy how easily we can no longer believe that God is who we thought we believed him to be. And Paul is writing, he says, do not forget. You are a new believer. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. I want to help all of you people to use your imagination again. If you could do me a favor and just entertain this idea. If you could do me a favor and think of your favorite celebrity, your favorite athlete, your favorite musician, favorite band, favorite scientist, astronaut, someone famous to you. Think about that person. Think about why you admire them so much. Think about why they are your role model. Now imagine for a second they were to call you personally. You're hearing their voice over the phone. And they're like, hey, I'm gonna be in Bakersfield. I wanna hang out. And you actually do. This isn't a joke. And you go and like, hey, I'm gonna get breakfast at the Village Grill. Let's go get breakfast together. And you hang out and they're like, hey, actually, you're pretty cool. You wanna come over? Let's hang out. And you're like, actually, I'm not going, but you can come over to my house. I want to entertain you. And that individual goes over to your house. You start hanging out, introduce them to your family. And they're like, hey, let's stay in touch. I legitimately enjoyed your presence. Like, you treated me like a normal person. And you actually stay in contact. You're texting each other, you're calling each other, you're FaceTiming. You start having like life moments. They're enjoying it with you. They're having life moments. You're enjoying it with them. And this relationship that you're like, I never thought in a million years this would ever be my life. And then we read something in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And the very Savior of the world that the Jewish people are still waiting on in 2023, the creator of you and I and everything we've ever seen, draws us near to the family of God and says, you are worthy of me being with you and spending time with you. And still, we need miracles. We need our finances to be taken care of right now. Like I said, I've got two kids. My wife is a nurse. I work for the church. We're busy in our jobs. And then we have kids. And it's busy there. But the other night, I think our kids were asleep at like 7 p.m. And if that's your household normally, good job. But this was a rare occasion for us. So the kids are asleep. And my wife and I, we sat next to each other and just spent time together. We weren't watching TV. We weren't on our phones. And we just sat there and we talked and we dreamed. We were talking about our vacation. We were talking about what we want to do to our house. We were talking about some funny stories between our kids and stuff that we'd seen. And we just sat there and enjoyed the moment. I didn't ruin it by talking about finances. I didn't ruin it by talking about some stuff that she did earlier that week. She didn't bring up me at all. We didn't ruin this time by being responsible. We didn't ruin this time by being logical. We just sat next to each other, and two people that were in love spent that time together. I didn't ask her to prove her love to me. I didn't ask her to confess it and remind me over it. We just spent that time together. And in reading this, I go, God, I feel like the same thing happens when it's just you and I. Or at least that's how it's supposed to be. Because if you truly spent time in the presence of the Lord, not with an agenda like, hey, God, I got to be out of here in like 30 minutes, so wrap it up. But this very idea that like, God, my phone is off. Any worries that come into my mind, I'm giving them to you. But I am going to spend however long it takes. When you are really in that position, very little do you need him to convince you of his existence. Very, very often are you just so overwhelmed with like, I know that I am not alone. I know that you hear me. I know that you're with me. And in that, this is where God wants us. But we are America. And we run and we go and we set our alarms and our calendars and our agendas and we run ourselves dry so that what we turn Christianity into is half of what it's able to be. And Paul says, remember who you used to be. Because now you are royalty. You've been brought into the family of God. And sometimes that really is all that we need, is just a reminder. Because what's so crazy is that that particular celebrity or that role model that you have, like if you were able to really go there, you would be so stoked. To have this human being like you, and you're clearly obsessed with them, and how unreal this would be, and all the photos you'd probably take and post, and you would do all these different things, and the very creator of the universe goes, I want that with you. And we're like, yeah, that's cool, but why is there so much injustice in the world? And God goes, you and I together are actually the solution for that. Amen. But the longer that you spend away from me, how are you ever supposed to know that? We are to remember. Because if we can really grasp this idea that this is the goal, that we would know God, that we would love God, that we would be, you know, passionate about God, and then also at the same time, we would be passionate about people and helping people. I think it's very easy to say that you and I, we understand that this is a process. And I don't know who needs to hear this, because when I was spending time with the Lord today, maybe this is the title, I don't know what, but God very clearly wanted me to say that it's okay to be in the process. It is okay if you are in the middle of, you know, sinner, whatever you want to title that, and like perfect Jesus. It's okay if you are right in the middle. It's okay if you pray and sometimes it fails. It's okay if there are times where you're like, I don't want to go to church. It's okay if there are times where you're like, I don't want to do these things, or I'm not fruitful or successful, or the days where you blow up on whoever it is in your household. It's okay that you have those moments from time to time, because we are still very much human beings. But to not forget who you are and the goal that God has for you. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I are to be holy as our Father is holy. That is the goal. It's not to be like, hey, I'm better than my family. I'm better than they were. At least I'm not an alcoholic. Or at least I'm not addicted to this. Or at least I don't have a history like them. No, they are not the goal. You're not supposed to be just a little bit better. You're supposed to set our eye. We're supposed to set our eyes, Colossians 3:2, on things above and not on earthly things. We're not supposed to be just a little bit better. We're supposed to be a lot of bit better. And that's why Paul is writing and saying, you can't just forget who you used to be. Because there's power in being brought in. There's power over your marriages now. There's power over your mentality now, over your health now. There is power over you and your kids' relationships now. There is you don't have to be stuck in what you used to be. And too often we get so busy that we do forget that. We forget that the Bible is filled with verses where God says, I am for you. I'm not against you. That God says that he has a will for your life, for you to be successful. And right there, you're like, oh yes, I am supposed to have money. No. If that's your determination of what success is, you've missed it. Success is walking with the Lord. To have daily conversations, hourly conversations, that is success. To know that you are loved and supported, that is success. Not to have a new truck. Not to have a house in whatever side of town that you think is where the rich are supposed to be. But to walk with the Lord. To know him. That you would know that he knows you. That is success. And tonight, it is okay for you to be in the process of that. It is okay for you to not be, I mean, I don't know who your spiritual person is. It's okay that you're not them. God wants us to go after him with everything that we have. Amen. So some of you, that might be that you got to change your music selection. Sorry, I'm just the messenger. Others of you, it might just be what you do with your free time. Oh man, I was so ready to watch TV before going to bed last night. My show was getting ready. I was getting ready to watch it. About to press play, and God's like, hey, just spend a little bit of time with me. And I go, okay. And then I can watch it? Like my kids do. Like, I got to eat this and then I get ice cream? And I'm like, yeah. And what ended up happening is after I was done spending time with the Lord, it was like, I'm actually ready to go to bed. And it wasn't so much like, you guys, God gave me a revelation and I know what's going to happen next for all of eternity. It was just me and God just spending those moments together. But sometimes it is that still, that small, that quiet voice. And if we were to listen to that more, what would our lives look like? Amen. Let's pray. But ladies and gentlemen, don't forget who you used to be. And don't forget who God says you can be. Amen. What's crazy is, God is a good father for every daughter in this place. Madly in love with you. So proud of you. And God is trying his hardest to continue to raise you men to be the man that your family needs. Amen. And regardless of what your vice is, he is still pushing and believing in you. Jesus is your advocate. God himself has faith in you. in every single one of us, which is so humbling. Because I know who I am, Lord. Just give up on me already. Give up on me. And he takes no delight in doing that. There is space for us in his kingdom. There is room, and he wants us there. Let's pray. Father, there is no context here for the love that you have for us. I don't know if any of us truly understand how you could give your one and only son for people like us. But you believe in us, which is why you sent him. You saw good in us. Help us, Father, open our eyes to see the power that you provide. Strengthen us to live from this truth. Strengthen us, God, as we go throughout maybe even the rest of our night tonight, whatever work looks like tomorrow, whatever our schedule looks like tomorrow, whatever our families look like, there is hope. However it is that these circumstances started tonight, there is hope for them to be better because of you, God, not because of us. Give us the strength that we need. Holy Spirit, empower us. We need the fruits of your Spirit. Thank you, God, that you are patient with us. Thank you that you are patient with us. Even when we are hard on ourselves, you are patient with us. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen and amen. If there's anybody who would like to make the decision to live for Jesus today, there are prayer people up here at the front that could pray with you and walk you through that process. Or if you need prayer for anything else, please, 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 please do not leave here tonight without getting that prayer. We love you, and we'll see you guys either Sunday or next Wednesday.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our